Thanks, guys. I thought it'd be good today to have a reminder of why we're here. If you're here, obviously, for the baptism and for Scarlet Service, just sit back and relax. And you've obviously, there's a reason you're here today. And well, we'd love to have you back again at this stage, your guests. And we wanted just to tell you why it is that we're here, why the church is here. And for those of us that are part of the church regular, it's a good reminder. And I began to wonder this week as I was preparing for this message, just exactly what it is that God might want to say to us through his word. And I thought about, well, I looked at it initially and looked and thought, well, the part that we often refer to about why the church is here and instructions for the church is found in the New Testament. And Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, was a particularly interesting individual. And understanding the life and the work of Paul, the missionary journeys, etc., I looked at some qualities that this guy had. Paul initially started out persecuting the church and was responsible for the murder of the first martyr, Stephen, in the church, and was confronted on the road to Damascus by the Lord, and he said, "What's going on?" And God said to him, "Paul," or Saul at the time his name was, "I want you to be speaking of me. I want you to be someone who is part of planting and establishing the church." And as Paul began to step into that ministry, the qualities that he had, that God had given him, were redeemed and used for his purposes. And three of the qualities he had amongst numbers that I had a look at were ones that much reminds me of Scarlet. Three qualities that came out was persistence, firstly, a compassion, secondly, and lastly, is ethics, being ethical. Compassion, after all, is nothing without ethics. If we are very compassionate and desiring that something happens, but we don't have a moral boundary or a framework, often it becomes rather loose. And as I read about the qualities in the life of Paul and saw those three particularly and thought of our experience and the wonderful time it has been to get to know Scarlet in ministry, I saw these things come out time and time again. And I began to think that if we could remind ourselves about why we're here, it would be a wonderful thing that we could actually be able to take out as we tell others why it is we're here and what it is that we're doing. After all, many people said to me, "I thought when the quakes happened and many churches fell down or had to relocate," and you might remember there was a building out the front that was our church for a number of years, obviously it fell down, the quakes, and we're now here. But why make the move? Why persist? Why not say, well, surely that age is over, religion is going away, Christianity is being fast superseded by something else, whatever that may be. The reality is we're here because we're called to be here for a number of key reasons. And Paul, who was confronted by God in the way that many of us will be and have our own testimony of that transaction and that time, was led to write ultimately, as I said, much of the New Testament. But if we find a summary that I think would be helpful for this morning, we find it in the book of Romans. Romans is Paul's greatest work, and it's a book he's written to the captors of his nation. Paul was extremely Jewish, and because of his particular Jewishness, really chafed under the occupation of the Romans. And if you've ever lived in an occupied country as the country that has been overtaken by others, you know how that must feel. We may or may not have experienced that at certain times of our lives, but imagine the situation where the Romans are the ones that are oppressing, attacking, and wiping you out. And God said, write a love letter to them. And Romans, being Paul's greatest work, often summarizes much of what's gone on for him. And I thought if we had a look at a summary of Romans, it's known as the Roman Road. And the wonderful thing about this is it picks and looks, or not the wonderful thing, but the challenging part of it as well, I should say, is it picks and it illustrates three parts that I want to focus on today. And the first thing it talks about in Romans 1, and it's well worth having a read, is the position we are before God and how we stand before God. How it is that each one of us relates or maybe doesn't relate yet to what it is that he's offered in the person work of Jesus Christ. Jesus on the cross, our response to him. But he starts off firstly in laying a foundation. And the first verse I want to bring up is Romans 3:23. Some of you will be familiar with this. And the Roman Road talks about the position that each of us have. And it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This is the hard reality. We might as well get the hard stuff over first, because that's the order in which it must be dealt with. Other translations say, "For all have sinned and are fall short or far from God's saving presence." In other words, the sin that we have in sin is going our own way. The falling short is actually a summary of what the word sin is. We might look and say, I'm not a sinner like that other person. And many people said a sinner is Adolf Hitler. A sinner is someone that we can all pick and say this person is heinous and desperately wicked. That's not me. I can't be a sinner. Sin, though, is summarized in this word falling short. It's shooting an arrow to get to a particular target and the arrow falls short. It's gone most of the way. And in its own strength, it hasn't quite gotten to the target. The arrow needs the strength of the archer behind it to get there. But if the archer, the strength that we have, doesn't quite get to the target, that is what falling short is. And sin is the state we have before God. This is the point, I guess, of condemnation, that we stand before God sinners, condemned, unclean. And as Paul said, there's really no other way I can summarize it. As Paul said in Romans, he said, this is the position that we have. And if that was it, then all the gospel would be, all church would be places where people would tell you what a bad person you are, what a sinner you are, how desperately wicked you are, etc., if it stopped there. And sadly, if you're a visitor here today, or if you're new, or even if you've been here for some time, that may also be your experience. All you've understood the church stands for, or the message of the gospel is a way that people can hammer you for the things that you've fallen short of. Because just in case you don't know it, I'm sure that everybody does, just being a Christian doesn't mean that you don't sin. From time to time, maybe more often than we want to admit, this is something that still afflicts us. Sin gets in the way. It is something. And if all the churches have said was something that condemned us for that and told us that message, after a while I think we'd all stop coming. Is there not a better message than that? Is that all that it's got to say? It is an important part of what we have to say, but it is the start. As Paul then began to develop, and it's well worth a read of Romans as you read this, he then comes to a point of decision. This is the point of condemnation, and this is where we stand before God. If we stop reading and don't go any further, we are condemned before him. But what is the solution to this? If we could look at Romans 6:23, just over a few pages. 6:23 talks about the point of decision, about the choice that each of us have to make. And this is a choice that each one of us makes for ourselves. We often are saying that God has no grandsons, no granddaughters. We are not saved by the action of our parents, or our grandparents for that matter. It's a decision that each one of us has to come to. And Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin, for the consequence of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in or through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we have a parting of the roads, or a, if you like, a decision time. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This part of the Roman road talks about the choice to accept a gift. We often don't think of a gift as something that we have to earn, because a gift, after all, is something that is freely given. It may be something very expensive. Just because we receive it freely doesn't mean it's not worth anything or didn't cost the giver much or all that they gave. But in this instance here, we see the choices. We can either decide to accept this gift or not. It is a choice that no one else can make for you. And this is, if you like, the midpoint. We've talked about condemnation, and we come to this point here, which is a point of decision. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, only found through Jesus Christ. The reason we exist as a church, why we are here, is to continue to tell this message. We are simply the messengers. Now, often over the history, we see that the messengers are often shot and condemned, etc., because they're considered to be this or that type of person. One of the reliefs, I guess, of being a Christian minister, and for all of us being Christians, is that we know that it's not our responsibility necessarily for the answer, or not our responsibility for the response that we would give when we give a message. That's up to God. Our role is to give this message, and to get people, or for people to understand that that's our purpose, is to tell people about Jesus and the choice that they can make. Reading further on in Romans 10:9, the last part of the Roman road, and I'll finish with this today. It says in Romans 10:9, because we've been given this choice, what do we do with it? And it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 as well, for with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So the first verse again, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from dead, you will be saved. And this is the point that we come to, that each of us come to at some stage. We either do or we don't. The message of the church is very simple. Have you confessed Jesus? Have you come to that place of saying, yes, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. It's something that's done audibly because I believe in my heart that God raised him from dead. These two things are important. And the Roman road then is much more in it. You can appreciate Romans is a number of chapters, even following on from chapter 10, where we read this. And it would do us well to consider where we might be on that road. Are we at the point of condemnation? Are we at the point of confession? And we're either in one of those two places. We're either condemned or confessed. The decision time is at the point of confession, but the realization is often back at Romans 6:23, where we see there is a choice before us. So I felt this morning just to very clearly lay out, and for those that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, they have made that decision and said, this is something that I want to do. I've confessed with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from dead. This is ultimately the purpose and the message of what it is that we do. And maybe we could finish with another verse that many more may know other than these three. Thanks, Andy. And this is found in John 3:16. And if you've heard this one before, it may be something that you're familiar with from maybe years ago, if it's been a while since you've heard this verse maybe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's, if you like, a summary of the summary that we've just seen. The believing is important. The believing, we come to that part, we understand that this gift that Jesus gave by giving up his body for us, by dying on the cross and rising again, was something that cannot be done in any other way. No matter how much we try and be good, no matter how much we try and work, that's not what ultimately saves us and gets us into heaven. Because it's all a very relative thing. We understand, we look at Hitler or someone like that as an example, we say, this is the epitome of evil, this is an incredible sinner, I'm nothing like that. But the Bible says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. The place that we think we stand before God in his eyes is that we are sinning unless we come to Jesus. And essentially that's the invitation that I want to finish with today. In understanding that this is an offer and a gift that is open for each one to accept. And at various times people think or understand that this is the day for them. And I want to say today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable day of our Lord. It's not something that we could continue to say, well, I'll make the decision on my deathbed. That may well be what some people plan to do or like to do. We never quite know exactly what's going to happen to us. So I just want to summarise and remind us while we're here, those three steps, the step of condemnation and understanding in Romans 3:23, that point of decision, and then coming to this place of confession here in Romans 10:9. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come and that you have, because of what you did on the cross, you have died once and for all to take our sin once and for all. We do not need to stand condemned before you. And Lord, I feel I wouldn't do my job because my job is to get these folk safely home and to tell them about the way in which that happens. And there is only one way, through the person and work and the blood of our Lord Jesus. Father, may it be that for us as listening to this saying, I can get there myself. I can do it in my own strength. Lord, show us again through your word that this is something that can't be done in our own strength. We are simply not good enough. Or in many ways, it's all relative. We thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for the example of what it's been like to outwork that in various ministries and missions of this church. And we pray, Lord, that we continue to be faithful to preach your message and your word to us. Amen.